Recently, John Tamney wrote this: "More and more of us aren't even considering retirement since work is increasingly an expression of joy. Wise minds can disagree, but this is the greatest attribute of prosperity. Growing freedom from work that we dread. Mondays aren't as miserable as they used to be." That's part of the idea that is summarized and written up to great extent in a new book called The End of Work. The subtitle is Why Your Passion Can Become Your Job. It's a Regnery Gateway book. The author is economist John Tamney, who is the Freedom Works Director of the Center for Economic Freedom. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and John Tamney joins us now to discuss this idea and what he calls faux, as in F-A-U-X, meaning false, retirement crisis, which he says is rooted in a 20th century definition of work. So, John, welcome to the program, and let me go ahead and let you loose and wax eloquent on this whole idea of the end of work. Some people are saying, oh my goodness, all these jobs are being replaced by machines, by robots. It's a crisis coming. What are your thoughts?
Oh, the more that robots will destroy jobs, the better. The more that people will love work. Let's travel back in time 150 years ago. When you were born 150 years ago, you kind of knew what you were going to do for a career. There were no thoughts of, what will I do when I grow up? Your job was preordained. You were going to work 6 days a week on a farm, backbreaking work, and you were going to do it whether you loved it or not, or you were going to do it even if you hated it. It was about survival. And then robots came along, advances like fertilizer, and maybe most crucial of all, the tractor. The tractor was the biggest job destroyer in the history of mankind, simply because it freed so many people from working on farms. But as opposed to putting them out of work, this robot just freed them up to do work that was more associated with their skills. And that's all robots will do. They won't unemploy us as much as they'll free us to do work that elevates what's unique about us. More and more of us will get up each day thrilled to go to work, because all the backbreaking stuff will be taken care of by automation, so we can specialize. When we specialize, we're much more productive. And we're much more productive, we make a lot more money.
So a steam shovel, for example, may put some people out of work, people who are digging ditches or whatever, but they're digging ditches with shovels. My dad once said to me, well, my goodness, if you want to have more workers digging the ditches, why not give them spoons? Then you can hire that many more people. But there are people that need to maintain the machines and so forth. But surely, John, some people do get displaced, you know, in the adjustments of these things, right?
Well, I think we overrate that. My argument is that where people get displaced is where technology, job-destroying technology, is least evident. I mean, let's look at Silicon Valley. That's where jobs are rapidly being destroyed at the highest clip, but everyone's working. And let me be clear, not everyone's working in technology out there. In fact, a great deal more people are working as baristas, as personal trainers, as yoga instructors, as lawyers, doctors, sommeliers, as chefs. The jobs multiplier out in Silicon Valley is massive. For every technology job created, and technology by definition destroys older forms of work, there are at least five different kinds of jobs that employ people who have nothing to do with technology but who are benefiting from this growth. And so let's be clear, if Aliquippa, PA isn't a dying monument to the past economy because technology destroyed all the work. Aliquippa, PA is struggling simply because the economy there stayed stuck in the past. It stayed in the past, the mill work of the past that no one wants to do.
Am I to understand that in your book you make a case that millennials may yet be the richest generation?
Yes, millennials without question will be the richest generation in the history of the richest nation in the history of the world. That they are, we have to remember three things. For one, it's the norm throughout history for people to say that young people lack direction, that they lack work ethic, that they're imbecilic, that they're spoiled. That's called economic progress, as I argue in the book. It's only natural that younger people would seem entitled simply because they grew up around all of this plenty, around all this technology that saved us from the work of the past. But what we have to remember is precisely because the millennials grew up around all this technology, they understand it intimately, and so they will best understand its applications of bringing buyers and sellers together, of starting businesses that enable them to serve the needs of more and more people. But arguably the biggest reason the millennials will be the richest generation is that, quite unlike past generations, more of them will get to do the work that elevates what's unique about them. Work that they love uncontrollably. And when you love your job, you're naturally much more productive. When you're more productive, you earn more money. And so bank on it, millennials will be the richest generation yet until the generation that follows them eclipses their achievements.
Yeah, but this is interesting because, I mean, if you were to take the temperature of America at this present time, you think about all those young people that have graduated, they've got degrees, they've got lots of college debt, and they're living in their parents' basement. And, you know, a lot of them just spend all their time on the internet, and it's not, you know, a working type of thing. It's more, you know, trolling or playing video games or whatever. So there's a lot of angst and non-productive things going on, but it seems as if there's a lot of lack of opportunities as well.
It's a great point, and I'll just say I lived exactly that in the I got out of college in the early 1990s. I'm part of Generation X. They made movies about my generation. So bleak was the outlook for it. You can get them on Netflix now. Reality Bites, Slackers, Singles. There was a book about how we were going to underperform our parents, live in the basement, how we were going to fold shirts at the Gap. The shirt folding was a major theme of the movie Reality Bites. Then Generation X went out and authored the Internet Revolution that totally transformed our economy. Generation X was most familiar with the technology that led to the Internet, and so they got incredibly rich. And so just watch, the millennials came up with even more advanced technology. Watch as they transform this economy and in the process become incredibly accomplished, not just getting rich, curing diseases, achieving all sorts of advances that make the world a better place. This notion of it being bleak for young people is as old as mankind.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, this is interesting because I think there's a growing divide, though. There are a lot of people that are somehow falling through the cracks. I mean, for example, just recently, Starbucks is changing its policy, and as I understand it, you know, you don't have to be a customer to use their bathroom or, you know, sit around their tables and so forth for hours on end. And some people are saying, wow, they're going to be turning Starbucks into a homeless camp. And there certainly is at least anecdotally, there's a rise in the level of people that are homeless. And so, as I say, maybe, you know, some people are falling through the cracks. Maybe they're not good at computers, or they just can't seem to be able to find a job.
Well, a couple of things there. For one, in a growing economy, one defined more and more by technology, you don't need to understand computers to be gainfully employed. Let's be clear that the U.S. won the war on poverty 200 years ago. And how we know that is that poor people from around the world continue to risk their lives to get here because they know this is where poverty is cured. To some degree, when we're talking about people who go into Starbucks and create a scene, they're not unemployed because there aren't jobs around. They're unemployed for a variety of other reasons, which we could get into, but it would be a different subject. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is that we've heard all this before. If you go back to the 1980s when I was in high school, the talk was that homelessness was rising because of the Reagan economy, and lots of Americans lacked opportunity. The interesting about that is we had an election in 1984, which was a referendum on Ronald Reagan. And even though all the media, the media coverage of Reagan was how awful the economy was, the electorate said otherwise, voted him back into office 49-1.
Yeah.
And so the pessimism is a norm for a country this rich. it's only natural that there are going to be people who don't thrive. But let's be clear, it was always this way. If you go back to the 19th century, it was said about the young generation then that they were lazy, imbecilic, that they would only do the work they were hired for. That's all in a story called A Message to Garcia. It was about the young people coming up in the late 1800s. Mm. Where have we heard that before? It's what they always say about young people.
Isn't that interesting? This Message to Garcia, do you know the author offhand?
Yes, it's by Elbert Hubbard. Many of the listeners have already read it because it is a short story, the true story that's given to everyone who joins the military. A Message to Garcia is about a soldier who is told to get a message to a general and gets it there without asking questions. That's why the military tells people to read it. But the person, Elbert Hubbard, the businessman who wrote it, was also writing about, he wrote it because he said modern kids weren't getting the Message to Garcia. They were saying, that's not in my job description. They were too lazy. They were too much about themselves. Oh, yeah, the generation that ultimately grandfathered the greatest generation of World War II. I mean, the point is, young people always look shiftless simply because the economy progresses in the U.S. in such a way that the young people invariably have it better than their elders did. And so they appear lazy and entitled. No, it's just economic progress. They figure it out. They always do.
All right. So let's talk about retirement for a moment. Do you see that older people, let's say people even in their 60s, some of which enjoy their work, that they're going to be retiring later in life because life is fun when they go to work?
Oh, absolutely. Now, the first thing I'll say is this notion of a retirement crisis is always going to be overdone for two reasons. For one, the U.S. is the richest country in the world. Is it really possible that we could be the richest and at the same time have no individual savings? Well, we individuals comprise the economy. That's the first thing. The second thing, any shortages in the marketplace are always made up for by market forces. If, in fact, there's a crisis, that's just an opportunity for entrepreneurs to create savings vehicles that enable people to have something for when they retire. And so if there's a crisis, it will be taken care of generally. Why would retirement be any different from anything else? But the main thing is, look around you. Talk to people you know who are working. More and more people view their job as the place they go to showcase their unique skills and intelligence. The job is something they can't wait to get to on a daily basis. And so more and more people feel that retirement is something they never want to do. They always want to have somewhere to go in the morning, a place to go be around people and do something that elevates their unique skills. And so this notion of retirement is rooted in a 20th century view of work whereby a lot of people went to work and did things that were backbreaking, that were threats to their health. Well, increasingly, that's not the case. And so work is viewed as a lifelong thing, which makes the obvious point that we're never going to have a real retirement crisis.
Okay, if people, we have about less than a minute to go. If people were to get your book, The End of Work, Why Your Passion Can Become Your Job, would a side benefit to that be almost like career advice?
Yeah, it's career advice. It makes the basic point through the chapters that if you love football, nowadays you can make a career out of your love of football. If you love video games, it's increasingly the case that you can make a career out of your love of video games. If you love shopping, you can make a career out of that, unlike in the past. My book makes the basic point that if you have a passion, there is a job application to it and a remunerative one. And so look around. Happiness is hard, but when you're doing what you love, you'll be working hard and you'll be but you won't be unhappy because it will be an extension of what's unique about you.
Well, that's neat. Okay, again, the name of the book, The End of Work, Why Your Passion Can Become Your Job, freedomworks.org for more information. John Tamney is the author. Thank you, John, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now.